T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
KNSS, Stephen Hill in the morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward at 6:30 here on a Monday. A man and woman from Arizona died after a police chase and traffic accident in Osage County, Kansas. It happened Saturday night on I-35, 4 miles south of Melbourne, east of Emporia. According to the Kansas Highway Patrol, police spotted a stolen car on I-35 and the chase began. The car went out of control, rolled into a ditch near the intersection with K-31. 23-year-old Sharnika Cannon of Tucson, Arizona, and 20-year-old Anthony Krasik of Mesa, Arizona, were pronounced dead at the scene. A teacher with USC 267 has been arrested on suspicion of aggravated burglary and aggravated sexual battery. Sedgwick County booking records say Robert Richardson was arrested and booked into jail Sunday morning. Richardson is a technology instructor at Andale High School.
Authorities say a 21-year-old Kansas man died while trying to walk across Interstate 70. That crash east of Manhattan forced the closure of I-70 for a couple of hours after it happened yesterday morning.
Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach will not represent himself during the appeal of a voting rights case.
This time around, the Attorney General's office will handle the case. Kansas has appealed the ruling that it cannot require documentary proof of U.S. citizenship, such as a birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers, to register to vote. In an email, the AG said that it is committed to vigorously defending the constitutionality of the law. U.S. District Judge Julie Robinson's decision last month came in two consolidated cases challenging the Kansas voter registration law after the ACLU of Kansas had filed a lawsuit. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
A helicopter crash left at least one person dead in Williamsburg, Virginia, yesterday. Virginia State Police Sergeant Michelle Anaya.
The confirmed fatal is not the pilot. Confirmed fatal is not. We don't know if it's male or female. That's going to take some time. We're still attempting to get information on the pilot, the aircraft itself, and if there was any passengers.
The helicopter crashed into a townhouse, starting a fire.
Millions of people are now affected by wildfires and scorching temperatures in the West. Fox's Alicia Acuna reports from Los Angeles.
One of the top priorities is the Klamathon fire burning at the California-Oregon border. 72 structures have been destroyed and 600 homes are in its path. Three communities are in this area, along with two power plants, are also threatened. Which brings us to Colorado, where so far more than 200,000 acres have burned in recent fires. That's combined. One burning near the mountain town of Basalt, which by comparison to some of the others is smaller, about 6,000 acres. But the threat here is to the people who live in this tourist region. In Utah, many homeowners not so fortunate. About 80 miles southeast of Salt Lake City, dozens of homes were lost in a fire that has slowed in growth, but not before taking 48,000 acres.
Salina police need the public's help identifying suspects involved in multiple cases of prescription fraud.
Police say that on Thursday, June 28th, three different women tried to get pharmacies at Salina, Sam's Club, Walmart, and the local Dillon's to fill prescriptions. The pharmacies grew suspicious and refused to fill them. Walmart surveillance video showed one of the women getting into a maroon Dodge Durango. A short time later, a black Dodge Caravan parked next to that Durango. At the Dillon's location, the female advised the pharmacy she'd come back at a later time, but never returned. Investigators say the same suspects also passed fraudulent prescriptions in both Manhattan and Junction City. Anyone with information about the case is asked to contact Crime Stoppers at 825-TIPS. Amy Webb, KNSS News.
And now we'll look at the forecast with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. An area of high pressure is stretching from the desert southwest into the central plains throughout the mid-Atlantic, and that gives us a very typical July weather pattern. Sunshine, mid-80s by lunchtime, 92 for the afternoon high. Tonight's low 73, a low-end chance of a thunderstorm tomorrow, and 92. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now partly cloudy, 68 degrees. We have a south wind at 3 miles per hour. 6:34 now, Stephen Ted here on KNSS. Ted, what's the name of that city survey? I just took it this morning. Have you taken it yet? I guess they're They're holding him back for a little bit on it. I took it this morning. Can't remember what the name of it was.
Is it Wichita see. Works? Is that?
Yeah, Project Wichita.
Project Wichita.
Survey. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. There it is. Bill Roy's going to talk about it later
okay.
on. We got the mayor coming up in an hour from now, Wichita Mayor Jeff Longwell, and maybe I'll ask him about that. That'd be something good to talk about this morning. On this date, July 9th, 1956, Dick Clark made his debut as host of Bandstand on a Philadelphia TV station. The name was changed to American Bandstand when it went to ABC. Of course, he had that show on Saturdays for years. I watched it as a youngster.
So did I.
There were
Saturday Stalwart.
So I think Channel 12 had Hi-Fi Hop, and my older brother Don appeared on there a couple of times.
Really?
He was on that show for.
Why weren't you?
I was too young.
Okay.
You know, I was 11 years old, 10 years old. So yeah, it was it generated some genre across the country. An easy show to do on TV locally. Just get some kids in there, rack up some songs, and away you go. Some records.
Yeah.
A fun thing to do, and then of course. Dick Clark came to Wichita for the Miss USA pageant several years ago, about 25 years ago anyway. And I didn't meet him, but I got to see him on stage while I was helping to judge the contest. Dick Clark, American Bandstand. And you know, a place where I worked, we had Dick Clark on. Yeah.
Really?
Okay, they had a weekend show.
Okay.
Police say a toddler who somehow made his way out of a New York City home and wandered the streets in the middle of the night.
Oh, no.
Has been reunited safely with his family. Police had been alerted around 2 a.m. Sunday that an unintended child was spotted in the Bronx near the Fordham Heights neighborhood. Officers found the nearly two-year-old boy wearing a T-shirt and a diaper. Toddler didn't seem injured, but was taken to a hospital to be checked out as a precaution. A relative had been caring for the boy. Once a parent learned he was missing and called authorities, the family was reunited. No criminal charges are expected, but yeah, those toddlers.
Why is that national news?
Those toddlers, you know, it's interesting.
This happens about once a day
in
Wichita.
It happens pretty frequently here in the Wichita area.
It probably
Wichita.
Happens hundreds of times a day in New York City.
Yeah,
why is that?
I don't know. Just it was there, so I decided to use it today.
I'm not saying. I'm not sure why that's national news.
Maybe it's not national news, but it's something a lot of people ought to think about. And I don't know if a two-year-old can get pretty far pretty quick.
Well, sure.
Coke float, anyone? Before you say yes, consider what kind of Coke we're talking about here.
Okay.
Authorities in Florida are trying to find out who is responsible for the floating bale of cocaine.
Oh, no.
That was recovered in the Gulf of Mexico. U.S. Coast Guard release says more than 75 pounds of Coke was found in the package yesterday.
Oh, well, it must have been airtight.
Yeah. Release has at least. Release says a good Samaritan notified authorities of the package after spotting it bobbing in the waters south of Pensacola Saturday. Authorities searched the area, turned up the drugs. Well, you're probably at a place right there where there are people who are shipping drugs into the country all the time on little boats and whatnot.
Probably.
And if it had gotten open and leaked, you would see a bunch of porpoises swimming upside down. Wow. Porpoise? Porpoise?
Coke right. float. Sounds good, right? I could use a Coke float right now.
That sounds delicious, doesn't it? Had a couple of days off.
Get out to Andy's and get a Coke float.
There you go. Had a couple of days off, and I decided to do some honey-do stuff around the house.
Yeah?
And I'll tell you what, about midday in the afternoon, we didn't do much in the afternoon, but about midday, it began to get a little close out there. My brother, Jerry, came over with his chainsaw. There was a big log in my backyard.
Yeah, what are you two up to?
We cut up this log and took the pieces down to my son's house in Derby in Jerry's pickup so he'd have some firewood.
Wow, look at you, busy.
And the next day I got involved in trying to replace a dented downspout near my back corner of my house where Shelly had backed out of the garage and hit it a couple of years ago.
Oh, no.
Smashed it like that. So I got involved about halfway in that, and I said, I hollered at Jerry. I said, can you come over here and help me with this? And actually, it took two of us getting that thing cut down and pushing it together, fitting the pieces together. You know, those things are, they don't fit.
When you look at it, it seems very simple.
It's the same
size. And
then
you start doing it, you're like, why doesn't this fit together?
Now, if a guy does guttering for a living, if somebody puts, they probably have a special tool.
I'm sure they do.
And they'll just slide in there.
Right.
But Jerry and I, we wrestled that thing for about 15 minutes in the heat. And said, but we got it done just in time because there were a little, what was it, Friday morning or Saturday morning? Saturday afternoon, had a little rain anyway, somewhere in there. So there you go. Yeah, I kept busy. Yard work, all kinds of stuff.
Look at you.
Man. Now I got nothing to do for the rest of the year.
Yeah, the west side got a little rain. I don't think it rained at all on the east side.
Yeah.
I think west got a little.
Not much.
No, half inch, I think, ended up getting recorded at the airport. So I think it, but That's pretty much where it was located.
All right. 6:39 now, Steve and Ted. Time for the KNSS Commodities Update with Mr. Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Steve. There was some $112, $114 cash cattle trading our feed yards on Friday, which is at least $6 higher than the previous week. Now, this cash trade pushed the live cattle and feeder cattle futures into new highs for the week, but the closes were on the negative side across the board. Lean hog futures traded mixed Friday, but closed mostly negative. On the close, August live cattle were unchanged at 106.37, August feeders down 37 cents at 152.20, with August lean hog 62 cents lower at 75.42. Now, Friday, the U.S. and China tariffs were enacted, which should have been no surprise to anyone, but the surprise was the positive trading and closes that occurred in our wheat, corn, and entire soybean complex as they saw a large upside on the close Friday. Now, last week, the September Casey wheat gained 25 cents for the week, November soybeans gained 15 cents, and December corn gained 2 cents for the week. Thursday is the monthly USDA supply and demand report. At the moment, we're seeing a little profit-taking return. September Casey wheat's down 5.5 cents at 507.5. December corn down 4.25 at 368.75, with November soybeans down 9.25 at 885.25. August crude oil trading a nickel higher at 73.85. August gold $10.70 higher at 1,266.50. September S&P up 10 points at 27.73. September dollar index 28 cents lower at 93.49. And September Dow Jones futures 107 points higher, trading at 24,563. For commodity trading or ag marketing advisory, contact Leffler Commodities on the phone or on the web by using 866-GO-TO-TOM.
Tom, I haven't talked to you for a couple of days. I know Ted has, but... did you have an exciting 4th of July? I missed you last week.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. A lot of fireworks, a lot of good food.
Yeah.
It would have been nice if the temperature had been just a little cooler, but it wasn't too bad.
Well, what are you going to do, huh?
That's right.
Summertime in Kansas. I hope you, as long as you're safe, you didn't blow a finger off or anything there.
Last I checked, they was all...
yeah, they were all there? You counted them up? You had your regular 11 or whatever?
I got some help, but we got them counted up.
I know what you mean. All right. Thank you, sir. 641, Steve and Ted. And coming up, we've got Don Grant, CFP. He is the money tracker, talking about a rewarding career. Don Grant on the way. Steve and Ted in the morning on KNSS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.